This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Audible.com, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/wow. And by Squarespace.com, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on a new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code INSTANCE9.
Hi, this is Russell Brower from Blizzard Entertainment, and you're listening to The Instance.
You are listening to The Instance.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. Episode 341 for Friday, September 13th, 2013. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined by Terpster. Hello, Terpster. With Terpster.
Hello, me.
By you, joined by. Is that right?
Joined by. Yeah.
That doesn't sound right for some reason.
No, we're joined by me.
Having a stroke.
So I joined us together.
Fantastic.
Someone needed to take a bit of initiative in the joining process.
Yeah.
And I stepped up and I joined us.
That's what you
is
do.
It's like a human centipede kind of situation?
Oh, gross. I hope not, dude. I really hope not.
A human millipede, if okay. I have my plan.
I kept calling it a human caterpillar for a long time, and then I realized that's wrong.
That's way too soft and sweet.
Because it could be nice once it cocoons itself and whatever, and hatches as a beautiful human butterfly.
Fantastic. Three people. One of them had too much cuttlefish.
Look, I need to be in the front, okay? It's just, it's a thing. It's digestive. I need to be in the front.
Okay, great. I'm fine with that then. I'll be in the middle.
Really? Really?
That's the worst place possible. Yes.
It is kind of the worst. But the back end is the one that died, right? I've had the misfortune of seeing this. I'll admit.
Really? I haven't even watched it.
It's horrifying.
I've avoided it like the plague.
Someone synopsized it for me, and I was like, well, I actually feel physically ill now, let alone having watching it. So I'm gonna say no, I'm out.
It was as bad as you think it is. And continue to avoid it. It's fine. You're not one bit loss. There's no loss in you not seeing it. Trust me on that.
Lesser.
I had to know for myself if that was true because you know.
See, I love curiosity. Literally, just like I can see how it kills cats now because I think Scott has the same level of curiosity as them.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds absolutely disgusting. I must check it out to see if it is truly as disgusting.
Yeah. Is this as gross as everyone says? Yes. Yes. The answer is yes.
If not more.
Dills, it's also here. Hey, Dills. What's going on?
Hey, Scott. Hey, T.
Hey, man. Hey, we haven't all three been on here in a few weeks. A couple weeks.
No.
You know what that is, don't you?
What?
Because Blizzard and Hearthstone.
Oh.
And you just got to blame Blizzard. That's the easiest
you're just way. You're going to put that at the feet of casual TCG card game playing?
Casual?
CCG.
Casual? Yeah, but I say there's no trading going on, I wish. Yeah. You know.
I would like to trade in that game, actually. That'd be fantastic.
Well,
although, they would get hairy pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But imagine, though, think of it this way. If there's a system where your friends, they have to be your friends, and you make think of it as a trade in the game. You literally drop a card into a thing. He has to do it, too. You both have to accept it. There's some possibilities there.
It would only really work, though, if they voided the ability to abuse the system by like giving the strongest cards to one player. So you'd have to have some sort of a point system where they're rated and then the points would have to kind of match.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. So then I could trade you a card I'm missing, not like, oh, you're the leader of our guild and we want you to like be the best player. So we're all going to give you legendaries. And have a 30 legendary deck.
I had not thought of that.
Had a Ysera card, Ysera.
Oh, yeah.
And like, holy crap, is that OP? It's amazing. There's like, it's so good.
How'd you
it's
get it? Just a random pack unpack or
just
what?
A random pack. I did not spend thousands of dollars, Scott. What are you talking about? That's crazy.
Yeah, you've never done that ever. Not in Simpsons Tapped Out. Never in anything.
It wouldn't be in my personality type.
No.
Piss away a metric ton of useful actual money on fictional invisible things that are even going to get wiped. At the end of the beta, so all I've got hope
they're going to get wiped, but they're going to get given back. So
yeah, but I've just got hope I get better cards or at least as again. That's my worry is I get all the money and they'll be like, "Yay, you can spend it on cards," and I'll be like, "Yeah, that's what." Obviously, of course, I'm going to do that, and then I just get like I don't know, just footmen. Yeah. Just loads of
footmen. Jobs
like
done.
Murloc scouts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I like the guys that dupe themselves. They're all right. But I've talked to a player over Twitter yesterday who said he bought a random 100 coin pack, like just a standard I've earned it pack, and got 3 legendaries in one draw.
Now
that seems crazy
to
me. To
everybody else and not me.
I know.
Because I've seen this stuff on YouTube, and every single pack I open, 1 rare, 4 commons. Every single pack I open.
Yep.
It is the bare minimum they can give you.
Yeah.
That is what I'm getting.
That's because you are dominant and Blizzard knows it, and they don't want to give you any favors on this deal.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Nerf deals. That's the new that's the new battle cry in the forums.
I don't care though, because I'm only playing Arena. Well, actually, no, I'm playing some regular when I run out of time. But yeah. Arena all the way.
All right. Arena, you've heard it here first. So 5.4 dropped. I've been last week we had a lot of people saying, why don't you just call this the Hearthstone podcast? And I say to that, well, if Hearthstone's relevant, we'll talk about it.
Because it's already taken.
Yeah, it's already taken, so now we're not doing that. But I can tell you this. 5.4 dropped, and I spent a bunch of time in the patch, and primarily that time has been spent in Timeless Isle, or the Timeless Isle, and Flex Raiding, which I did last night. And
how far did you get? Are you doing... Siege?
Yes, and we got as far... Well, that's the only flex raid there is, so we have to do Siege, but...
That might make sense then.
Yeah, they didn't retrofit.
Obviously, I knew that, Scott. I was just trying to make sure you explain it to our audience.
I wish they did. If they would retrofit the previous patch even, just that would be great. But
well, they said that they can do it. They've already kind of... obviously, with this technology, they could do all old raids and instances, and they said that they just don't really have like a cool enough reward or incentive, but I'm thinking like just give me like valor points, just let me like raid Molten Core and Flex and make it hard as nails, but then give me like 500 valor or something like that for completing that or any other raid.
Yeah,
well, and you can still get the old gear and it's just for transmogs,
exactly, maybe it drops everything in transmog only form and valor off of every boss.
Yeah,
that could still be fun.
And I could just upgrade items with it.
That'd be great.
And then pets and all other things, because there's just so much game that I never play anymore because it's just outdated.
Yeah, it comes and it goes, and then when they introduce something huge like LFR back in the day with Dragon Soul and now with Flex Raiding, it's like, well, that other stuff just becomes less relevant from a mechanical standpoint. You don't really want to go back unless you're given a reason. So if they give us a good reason, let's go.
For like everything, I mean... It's just like, why not? Because I honestly, I just want a raid.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm queuing up on LFR, I'm just like, yeah, just give me a raid. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just anything.
Well, I am here to tell you that I think Timeless Isle is one of my favorite things Blizzard has done to the core game in a while. And I think it stems from, some have said, well, isn't this basically Guild Wars 2 approach to a zone? Which is more of an emergent kind of questing system. You walk in, you kind of discover things rather than being told what to do or where to go. There isn't a central hub. I talked a bunch about this on Instance TV, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But the point of that place is just that. Discover what
to do. It's very explorable, and there's a lot of stuff like to just happen upon.
Yeah, you know? Treasure chests with gear upgrades. I walked out of there with 3 better pieces than I walked in with.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and in one night.
See, that's exciting when you first get to a zone. It's like, I'm immediately getting stuff.
Yeah.
But that makes you come back.
And I did not group for any of that. It was a very, kind of, I can do other stuff sort of casual experience. And it was really rewarding to suddenly go, I killed one of these. That triggered a quest event. Like, I killed a thing I just did randomly. I'm like, I wonder what this guy is. Killed him. Oh, what? That opens up this thing? Let me go talk to... Bung Flicker Cho or whoever's over here wanting to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And then he extends it and says, no, go out. Now I need you to go get 10 of these. And when you come back, bap, 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 bap. And then it opens up something else. But I was never overtly sort of told where to go. Now, that can be tricky. I don't think it's easy for any developer, Blizzard included, to just throw you into a sandbox and say, figure it out. Because that has to be, there has to be a real good balance between tedious trying to find things and that rewarding feeling of exploring something, finding it, and then going from there.
Yeah.
So I think they've been
Think about vanilla, though. Think about back in the day before, like, Thoughtbot and Alakazam and even, those really early kind of WoW information sites. Doing questing was literally that. You got a quest, you didn't read it. Then you ran around and realized, I need to read it.
Yeah.
And so then you bring up your quest log and go through it. And then, you know.
Oh, go north. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
North
oh,
of
which
what?
Was, yeah. Ah, oh, and it's, I forgot where the guy was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so all of those sort of things kind of lead into making it into, you know, just a different type of game. And I kind of feel like that's one of the hardest things that WoW has to compete with nowadays,
yeah.
is that everyone knows what it is before it's actually even they experience it.
Right.
You know, I've either read about it or I've got an add-on that's directing me, or just the game itself is just saying, yeah, go over there, kill stuff within this blue area until the blue area disappears on your map. It means you finished. Hurrah.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just dealing with a different, you know, ecosystem.
Yeah.
And, there's like no game that really does it that way anymore. The just randomly walk around and try to figure it out, you know.
Yeah. Even the Guild Wars 2 method is very iconic. It's like, here's a map and here are the things on it that you need to go for. And if you walk into the range of a big quest area, it's going to pop up and say, help farmer butthole
but
do whatever
you need
to do.
But equally as well, like, you know, Guild Wars 2 did some of this in terms of you'd kill something and it'd be like, oh, brilliant, you noticed, you know. But I mean, WoW did it in a certain way, but like it used to be, you know, you'd kill something and it would drop, you know, a letter.
A book or a scroll.
And then you'd read it and then that would set you off on something.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always done that, just not to a very, you know, large degree.
Yeah.
So obviously this is a whole zone built around, you know, soloing and group play.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of, I like the idea that it literally is timeless in that we can come back here whenever and have that same experience that you get today.
Yeah. No, it's cool. And the best part about it, I think for me, was this. Well, the one thing they've done, for example, there are these random chests that are all over the place. And they contain the currency. I forget the name. Timeless coins or timeless whatever it is. Timeless.
Yeah, I believe they're coins.
Coins. Anyway, you want those because those are a big deal. And you get those for everything you kill.
Timeless coins, yeah.
Even crappy little yellow, no-nothing, two-shotter, you know, baby turtles will drop a coin. So you get currency for just anything you're doing. But these chests will show up, and if five of you see it, you don't have to rush over there and hope that you were the first guy to click it and your latency was better. You all get to get it. It will only disappear for you an instance out of there until you've had your turn. The only problem is, I think there's this engine issue, I think, where they still got it kind of set up where if a guy is starting to do it and then you go after he does, it's going to say that thing is busy. It's kind of like a chest in a raid. It won't open again until everybody stopped clicking on it. So you may have to wait there for a second or hurry and kind of have a click fest with people. But ultimately, it will open for you and it will give you something. And in my case, lots of loot, lots of these coins. There's a hut where this big what's the name of the monkeys again? I always forget. Hozu? What is it? Gochu?
Hosen.
Jeez, what's wrong with me? Giant Hosen guy.
Duker?
Big Duker guy in there.
Okay, Duker.
And his room, his building is full of chests, and they're all different shapes, sizes, types. And you go to him and you pay him 500 of these coins. He gives you a key to open any one of the random chests, and you have a chance of winning something awesome or just 100 coins again or something. And it is addicting and terrible. That is the most gambling-centric building I've ever stood in World of Warcraft in my life.
Well, fits in with the theme.
Yeah, it does, right? But it's, you know, quest mechanics and stuff. There's nothing here that's like changing the way you think or believe games should behave. It's just this approach to kind of, let's just go in here and see what's what. Let's see what's up and let's have those things be dynamic and different for everybody and that kind of thing is a really nice direction. I'm enjoying it more than I ever have a new area full of dailies, maybe since the Quel'Danis days where I kind of liked that for a while and then I kind of got sick of it. It doesn't feel grindy in that way for me. Some players have disagreed with me online about that, but I'm feeling like it's fresh and new and I'm excited to go back in there. So,
how many hours have you pumped in so far, do you think?
Timeless Isle, probably four and a half, maybe.
Okay.
Nothing huge.
Not
a couple of nights of popping in and out.
But that's,
for a couple
I think
hours.
That's kind of what's a healthy number.
Yeah.
I think people who may be burning out already probably have binged and they probably, you know, kind of geared up like six of their alts and been like, oh, it's so grindy. And it's like, well, you are kind of, you know,
you're grinding,
going,
yeah.
It's good
pretty hardcore.
Anything can be grindy. Anything can be grindy.
Right. Even this will be. Even this will be.
Fun it is. Yeah.
Of course. And it's just, but it is nice to be able to go in there and not see a group of NPCs with 1,000 question marks over their heads, and then and them and telling me exactly where to go and exactly what to do. For me to go into a cave, see the floating skull of Zaram floating there to tell me he needs his body back. Mm-hmm. is a great reference, of course, but it's also this really cool moment where you're like, oh, I'll do that for you. He didn't have an exclamation point over his head to tell me to go there. He was just there, and I talked to him. And so I went, found his body, took care of it, got back there. He disappeared. Life is good. Got a bunch of rewards. Walked out of that cave, went, found another cave. And guess what? That other cave had some cool crap going on, too. So it was like this great mix of... I don't know, but
caves
random,
and cool crap,
yeah,
it sounds like
it brought back. Remember, like Terpster said it well in vanilla, there was this sense of achievement when you explored something.
I think it was just this sense of unknown.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Is it always felt bigger and faster because my mind filled in all these different little gaps, and I kind of think like you know, I always used to talk about my Ashenvale moment, and it's, you know, when I first went to Ashenvale, and it's just like I saw some satyrs and some night elves, and you look at them now, and they're all really crap, but I was completely enamored at the time and just thought like, holy crap,
yeah,
this is amazing.
Yeah.
And it was contested territory, and I was thinking like, oh my god, does that mean we can win this? Can we control this territory?
Yeah.
No, but at the time I was really excited, and I think, you know, just all of those sort of things, the less you know, the more the magic can fill in.
Yeah. And it's hard to do. I think it's a difficult task. I think they've done it well in the past. I think maybe they swung too far the other way of hand-holding. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I'm not saying that that's a terrible thing. It is good to give your players an experience where they know what they can do and how to do it. But it is nice to see it swing back just a little bit and have that sense of wonder again. Like, I don't know. I have no expectation for where to go or what to do. I don't know what's around that bend. That dragon looks pissed. How many more of those are there? It turns out there's 5. What can I take a shortcut? Like, all these things pop in your head, and suddenly you are creating your adventure again. And that feels good. So more of that, please. I would like more.
Yeah, totally.
If they are willing to make more of that, I will play way more of that. Then we flex rated last night. We have another appointment on appointment. We have another scheduled playtime on Sunday.
Are you too good for flex rating?
No, I walked in there and I feel like I am just about right, and so does everybody else. So there has been some talk on the forums that perhaps the first couple bosses are too easy for some groups. And those people have been told, well, then maybe normal or, you know, something else is for you. I don't know if they'll tweak that or nerf that or buff that or whatever they'll do. But I can tell you that going in there with 18, we had 18 people last night. Mm-hmm. And I captured some footage, which we'll show in other stuff later. But the first boss we ended up beating, we beat the first night, which is kind of a rare thing for new content for, you know,
yeah,
a new
like
group.
A one a shot people, or did you have to at least
oh we had to work again. At it we yeah okay. We were probably an hour and a half in or something
okay
before we
that's
got
fine
him.
Because I remember there's been a few raids that have opened where we got the first boss within an hour or so.
Yeah,
and that I think is okay.
Yeah,
I think the first boss should be like easy enough that you can do it, and hard enough that it's not super simple, and so that you feel like you accomplished something, but that you're not just totally frustrated the very first night you go in.
Like Uncle Krusty Pants outside of Dragon Soul, the first guy you fight. I'm pretty sure when we went in there, we had him down in like 3 attempts or something.
Yeah.
So it's not unheard of for that to happen. But it felt about right. Like there was a good, this obviously the player makeup has a lot to do with this, and how, you know, how much video people had seen or how prepared they were for mechanics and things. All those factor in, but it felt like about the right amount of time to learn, to work together, to change tactics, and then to beat them and feel really good about yourselves. And haven't had that in a while, you know, that feeling of like, yeah, dude, we're accomplishing something tonight. Somebody got gear right now, and we beat a thing that was hard, and we did it in a reasonable amount of time, and it was work, but it was the right amount of work. Like, all that stuff was clicking for me, and I think the rest of the group, and we were able to take a first attempt on the second boss, which is kind of a council fight, and that...
How's it working in terms of loot? Like, the fact that you're doing it with 18 people, mm-hmm. is that loot better than if you were to do it with 17 people?
My understanding is no. The loot quality and
yeah, flex is flex.
Flex, yeah. You just get your flex tier, right?
Uh-huh.
So right. If you're down to 10, you'd get the same loot potential as you would if you're up to 25.
Yeah. There's basically a raid finder tier, a flex tier, a normal tier, and a heroic tier right now.
Yeah.
So, but... Does it actually, do you think it is balanced enough that because as you add more players, in theory, it scales up damage and difficulty.
Yeah.
Do you have?
You wouldn't really know until you've tried it, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. We were pretty much solid 18 the whole time, so we don't really have much to compare this against. But that seems about like a tier of difficulty down from what it would have been at 25, mm-hmm. If I was to guess. And it got me to thinking, so there's this mechanic in this fight. You're fighting a huge water elemental. I already forgot his name. I never remember these guys' names. So
forgive
me.
Corruption guy, yeah.
For whoever he is. He, totally badass model. That thing kicked ass. Anyway, this thing does this part of his phase. Immersus, there you go.
Oh, Immersius or whatever.
Immersius,
yeah.
However you say it. He's got this great helmet and greaves on. Greaves. Anyway, he goes down at some point during the fight. You've DPS'd him down to a point. He goes under this big giant water hole. And out he spits these goo balls that are now going to come land way on the outside of the arena, and then they're all going to work their way back into the pool. And if they hit the pool, they create giant AoE and kill everybody if you don't DPS as many down as you can. And they only are the black ones you have to kill. The green ones are fine. You can ignore those. So what I got to thinking was, it really does. It sounds totally racist. It's,
if you're colorblind, can you tell the difference?
No.
Because that would be,
I
see all these,
problem.
All these like colorblind WoW players. Better at this fight. Right. You know?
Well, I mean, and we were figuring, you know, like Ice Trap slows them down and, you know, people could do some CC to control them. But point of the matter was they are random and they go, sometimes they're way heavy on one quadrant where there aren't enough players, and sometimes they're way light on others where you have too many players. And so you kind of have to dynamically decide where to stand and where to kill and what to do. And then you'll take a few hits because there's always a couple to get through, but you can heal through it. Point of all my talking with this is I figure at 25, there are probably more of those things. And they're probably way harder to slow down. I assume. Like, I honestly, I don't know what to compare it to, but it felt right.
What I kind of feel like is, like, I imagine they play with, health points less so than actual numbers of mobs.
Yeah.
In the, that's how they've done it with Diablo and stuff like that.
It's too hard to tune it by, like, one extra mob is actually going to tune it quite a bit, whereas giving each mob, you know, 1/25th more health points. Yeah. Is, you know,
that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. You're probably
but
right.
What I'm still not sure about is where that kind of happy sweet spot is. Mm. Is I don't know if people are going to discover like actually doing it 16 is the right number for flex.
16 is exactly the right number to make it easy. Mm. No, I'm sure people are going to figure this out. Yeah,
and that's absolutely. What I'm not sure with the people who've kind of experienced it to date, you know, whether or not they've kind of got that sweet spot already. And that's why they're saying, oh, this is actually really easy. This is too easy, in fact. Mm. So it'd be interesting to see what that actually is.
Yeah, at some point we will know that number, I'm sure of it. And whatever that number is, maybe we had it last night. Maybe that's why in an hour and a half we beat that first boss. I don't know. But it felt right to
maybe
me.
You guys are just epic. Maybe.
It felt great. Maybe. And people had a great time. There wasn't an excessive amount of frustration. There was a lot of that great camaraderie laughing going on. This is, you know, kind of the podcaster Flex Raid group. And there are a lot of people who do a lot of stuff for the instance and their own shows. And we had weirdos like Brian Ibbett in there, and it was lots of fun. And I felt like I mean, it's one night. Okay. So I need some more time with it, but it felt like the right answer to what a player with my schedule needed. It's not like I'm giving any less time to this, but I felt like we were progressing more than we would have on a 25 man normal. And we were starting sooner because people weren't dropping out and we had to pug it. Like all of those things that usually make it a chore were gone. Yeah. And that fits my 2 hours better than it did before. So I don't know. It's early. We'll see. We'll get a lot more playtime in this thing. But earlier verdict for me is this is a pretty smart tier to add to the game.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes.
And I'll be in there as soon as I can.
Yeah. Always a spot for the best DPSer on the server.
That's
not me. So,
Of course.
One last quick note. I launched last week the first episode of what we're calling the Instance TV. It is a supplementary video podcast-ish sort of thing. It's very supplementary. In other words, the podcast isn't going anywhere, but this is more of a kind of a visual thing where we'll show a lot more stuff, which I did when it came to Timeless Isle and some of this Flex stuff, and put it up on Thursday. This was yesterday I posted it. Mm-hmm. If you want to find out more, go to theinstance.net/TV. You can find it. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. The plan is to make that weekly. It'll feature stuff from all of us from time to time. We'll feature everything Blizzard does, but mostly World of Warcraft talk. And I'm really anxious for people to check it out. So go sub to it. That's at theinstance.net/TV. or you can just find it on YouTube, whatever your way of choice to find things. Go ahead and find it and check it out and let me know what you think. And this is the important part. We're taking user videos. You can just do them on your phone or whatever. You'll notice one in that episode, and really looking forward to that part of it, kind of that participation stuff. And for those who do participate, I've got a cool idea for you later in the show that I'll tell you about. So that's kind of awesome. All right. So there's that. Hearthstone, Bill or Terpstra, that's all you played? What have you been doing?
I did a little bit of 5.4. So like I went in and what did I do? I think I did my Tiller's dailies. And
you did 5.1.
And I did the you know, chatting to Chromie and going to the Timeless Isle. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of ran out of time, which like I found quite funny.
Yeah.
And then all it has been is, you know, I've been, you know, exceptionally busy recently. And so all I'm doing now is kind of, I've got my MacBook Air with me.
Yeah.
And that pretty much runs Hearthstone and about it. And so I've been playing a load of Hearthstone.
How's it run on there? Is it all right on the
like a
air?
Dream?
Not bad on the
like
air.
A dream. Yeah.
No, Hearthstone's not too. It doesn't really challenge your machine.
The download size of it as well is fantastic. I downloaded it by tethering it to a phone because I'm in a new place and I've got no internet yet. It was just like the perfect scenario. Mm. Hearthstone's just great fun. Really kind of Moorish, and it's got this whole sort of like, if you really think hard, you literally could win every game. It just comes down to like each time I play it, it's not so much that I was dealt the wrong cards, but because I used them at the wrong time,
right.
Or I forgot to, I'm like, oh, I didn't even attack with that guy that turn. Oh, balls. Yeah.
There's a combination of factors. There's because you could play two really good players against each other who neither one makes any literal mistakes, but the guy who gets the best draw in the best order is going to win. The guy who manages the card draw the best is going to win. It's stuff like that. But, you know, it's when you get the best players against the best players, it's going to come down to the better deck and the better card draw. Really going to come down to
every time. And that's fascinating to me. It's why I think this game is destined to be a big e-sport draw. More than I would have predicted, because now that you actually see how it goes, see the way people think, see how the top players play, you're like, ooh, this is there's a high level of skill happening on screen. Mm-hmm. This isn't just simple whatever. I still think they have an issue with how you would cast such a thing and make that as interesting as, say, a StarCraft match or a game of Dota 2 or something.
Oh, he's sitting on an execute. This is going to get interesting.
I think there's
some of that you got to deal with.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Jaina elected to use the hero power rather than play the arcane intellect. That's going to cost him later in the match. I guarantee you.
No, but you know what, though? There's been some moments that I've seen that are just ridiculous. So I can't remember the name of the caster, but he was playing a game. There's a ton of dudes on board. He had Deathwing card in his hand. He plays the Deathwing card, which, if you don't know what it does, it destroys everything, and it also clears your hand. So you have no more cards in your hand, and you have no more minions on deck, but you have a 12-12 on board. Then the next guy, Faceless, manipulators it and copies it. Yeah.
What?
So then he has one, and then he does it again, and there's three of them on board. So there's three Deathwings on board. Then he kills one of them. And so now the other guy has the Deathwing and he's like, crap, I just lost this game. Then he's a priest. He top decks a mind control card. Mind controls Deathwing back to his side.
Oh,
and then ends up winning the game. Yeah. So stuff like that is going to be epic for when you're casting these kind of games.
Because no matter what, that's good material. It's just, can you do it in a way that is visually... You know, it's funny because the latest blog post from the devs has been a bunch of talk about how they're adding new animations for certain things, like the coin is getting a new animation for when it gets used by the second player.
In the ring?
Yeah,
I don't know
what it's the coin. We only know it here is the ring. but the you know, things like that, I think it will help them go a long way to make that kind of stuff more interesting. The game's great. It's tablet.
I had a game last night. I was casting last night and. I had this one. I was down to 2 health. I drafted this druid deck, and I didn't really like it. I was down to 2 health, and the other guy had, I think, 20 health.
Yeah.
And I was like looking at everything. I had one minion with Wind Fury, so I'm like counting up all the damage. And like, there might be a way. So I'm like, I start attacking. And then I have to return a minion to my hand and then put him back out. And then I have to Starfire. And then I realize, oh, wait, I still got the hero power. One damage. And then boom, won the game. And it was like just
amazing.
You know,
yeah.
Crazy.
That's great. Well, good.
I was down to 2 health and just the guy was, he must have thought, oh, I got this in the bag, you know. And then all of a sudden, yeah. Nope, no, you don't.
Yeah. Well, and
that kind of.
And that's mostly what you've been playing again, right? I mean, I know you tried to get into the patch, but you were like, oh, these add-ons are broken. Let's play this.
Well, yeah. So I went into the game, realized all my add-ons are outdated, so nothing was working right. So exited the game, opened Hearthstone, opened Curse, and was very slowly updating my add-ons.
Really?
Very slowly, yeah.
That's good, dude.
Yeah, but I've been doing a ton of Arena. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Arena is where it's at.
If you're serious about this game, it appears to be the place to be.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get to some the big news out there.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
Big news brought to you by TypeFrag.com. Our friends at TypeFrag.com made it possible for me and 18 of my best internet friends to play Flex Rating in World of Warcraft last night. And you can be just like us. If you want a mumble server, they have those too.
Are you one of the friends?
I was one of the friends. I was one of the 18.
So you're one of the 18 friends?
Yeah.
So you are friends with yourself?
Yeah, me and myself.
That's crazy.
Best friends ever.
That's crazy.
BFFs. Terps are BFFs.
Forever.
You can be a best friend with yourself or many other people with a TypeFrag server. Go to TypeFrag.com and tell them we sent you. That's TypeFrag.com. All right, we've talked a lot about 5.4 already, so there's probably not a ton left. I haven't had a chance to dip into Proving Ground yet, but I'd like to.
What have you got left to prove this?
Well, I heard it's a fun diversion. Like, even if you don't feel like you need much work on your rotation or whatever the hell you're trying to do in Raid,
the endless mode is just like... You know, that's going to be just the new EPing. Mm-hmm. Like, I like how they've added these things in, like, you know, with the challenge runs and dungeons and stuff like that. If you actually really care about being the best, and it's not just, well, you are sponsored by someone so you can play the game forever, or, you know, you've got a guild behind you so you've got the best guild, blah, 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 blah. You know, if you really want to be like, no, I am the best just because I'm the best, you know, Blizzard's put in all these real skill-based things. And I really like it. I really like the fact that they're doing it and catering for such a broad audience, which kind of makes sense because, you know, even though I think what they said, revenues dropped, 54% or something crazy.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot of people and a lot of money coming in. So it's good to see them catering for all these different tastes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Proving Grounds, I'm not going
to
do it.
I'm going to try it. I mean, I may not play it a ton. I may not try to max
it. I just think it's going to depress me though, Scott, because I'll be like, oh, no, I know. I played a tank since vanilla. You know, I load up my tank, go in there and just be like, oh, I can't get past the first thing. Yeah, it's just, I know I'm going to end up, but maybe that's the point.
It seems more interesting for people like people who want to work on their DPS to me.
Well, I see the DPS one as being the most competitive one because if the tank one, you're basically, what are you trying to do? You're trying to mitigate as much damage as possible and keep all the mobs. And so you're relying a lot on the computer healer, the AI healer. And that's going to be a little bit funky. So
that's weird.
And the healer one, you know, you're just healing stuff. I don't know. It's the DPS one I could see being definitely like an EPing thing for sure.
It sounds more fun to me.
Because you're just trying to blow stuff up. But the other ones just kind of sound like they might get a little bit annoying or just frustrating. I don't know. Frustrating maybe? Annoying?
Yeah, might be.
I don't know. I haven't done it. But it just, in my mind, I imagine it to be that way.
World first 10-man normal occurred. Somebody has taken down Garrosh Hellscream. Video available online. You can go see it if you want. I'm going to save all that until I get there. But there's a piece of this.
Have you not seen it?
No, I haven't watched the fight.
Not the fight.
I've seen the aftermath.
The fight is good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will. But will I watch it now? I don't know.
It's too much for me to try and, because it's only going to get spoiled by me. You know, someone on Twitter is going to spoil something for me anyway.
Yeah.
So I've stopped with this whole sort of saving it for when I see it. And equally, like, I'm, you know, for me to watch it and actually experience it firsthand, I need to play through LFR, and that's not unlocked until all of you buggers have gone and killed him.
Yeah.
So it's going to get ruined. So I thought I might as well watch it. And don't regret
ruin it in a way that, yeah, own that ruination. Just go get it. Let it smack you in the face.
It was good. And Garrosh, you know, I think the biggest, I mean, can we, should we talk about other things?
Here's what we're going to talk about. So I'm trepidatious about this. We'll talk. Here's what I think we're going to do. And one of you had a good suggestion at the top of the show. I don't remember who, but I think this is how we're going to handle this. So the finishing cinematics, the in-game cinematics, when you have taken down Garrosh Hellscream, and I say the word taken down on purpose because that has actually some meaning to it. But anyway.
It's a fantastic way of ruining this. Well, like you said, spoilers.
Look, you take down Garrosh Hellscream. It's simple as that. Now take that, define that as you like, but that's what you do.
When you defeat him.
Defeat him, sure. You defeat him. Absolutely you do. So there's a bunch of story there. All your favorite folks and faces are there. They pick a new war chief right in front of your face. It's on both, on the Horde side of the story. You get to see who the new war chief is.
Can we just say who, on which side?
Hold on. I got to remember which side is it.
Horde side.
Yeah, you see the Horde side video.
Horde side.
And on the Horde side video, you get to see a little bit of drama about who and why. Now, we're going to talk about who and why at the end of the show, so people can skip it if they don't want to be spoiled, okay? We don't want to ruin this for somebody, but I think it's
obvious.
Can we
end the show now? Because I would love to just run into it.
I really do want to talk about it. I think it's interesting as heck. But here, I will say some things that are not spoilers about this. Could the need for human skeletal and model and texturing replacement be
more? So you're talking about Vary.
Oh my gosh, he looks bad.
But he's a newer model. That's the laugh of it. Ugh. That model was brought in for what? Wrath? Cataclysm?
I want to say Wrath.
But that thing is, he is a newer human. That's the joke of it.
Yeah.
And Jaina was retextured at least in this expansion.
Sure.
But was, you know, remodeled at Cataclysm or maybe Wrath again.
Yeah.
But you know, she looks like, you know, one too many Botox injections, and you know, Varian just like, I don't know. It's weird because even though I don't think they have Metzen do Varian's voice anymore. I think they've got someone else, but they do sound very similar.
Right.
That when Varian's chatting to Thrall, it's very much like, I just imagine like Metzen just chatting to himself in the shower. Cause I do that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I will crush you.
Of course you
cannot
crush
me. I am King of Stormwind. Well, I am Horde Warchief. You know, sort of that. You know, and you get like, you know, be really fun and.
Well,
you know,
he's not the only one. Like, I noticed that a lot of the aged out models, in comparison and stark relief to a more stylized looks to the Horde leaders, which they kind of already had. But then I actually think one of them has had a makeover and we weren't told. Outside of Garrosh, I mean.
Vol'jin's, yeah, definitely. He's been redone.
He's been reworked. And he looked incredible. And so when you had the Alliance side guys yelling, Varian Wrynn specifically, yelling at the other guys, he looked just ridiculous. I can't take it seriously anymore.
Yeah, he had some kind of polygon lips going on.
Oh, my gosh. It was bad. So they need to read. They really got to get to that.
The Anduin, he looked really weird.
Really weird.
Don't know what it was. He kind of looked a little bit like if you put Bender from Futurama and you just covered him with some human skin.
There's an episode like that where he becomes human and it's just as weird as that. It's weird.
Yeah. It's totally weird. Again, I mean, it's not taking anything away from the storytelling and the animation. Again, all the Horde stuff is fantastic.
Yeah, great.
Rosh, you know, comes over amazingly.
Mm-hmm.
The Pandaren involved are brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, it's all very, very cool, but it just really, really demonstrates like we need this.
Yeah.
We need it.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, it's you need it more now because you're doing it with other models. You've got Garrosh looking amazing. You've got this new Vol'jin model looking really good.
Garrosh looks really good. And
he's still pretty new. Yeah. He was Cataclysm new. So he's well animated, looks great. So you've got these people who just make everybody else look really weak and weird. And even the Tauren dude, Bane's back there just looking pretty rusty.
But like Gallywick, if you see, like, Mark Gibbons did like some amazing concept art, and apparently I think Gibbons still does like all the tier armor. He concepts pretty much World of Warcraft is his head. And Gallywick's was this like really kind of fat, kind of lecherous goblin. And like he like had him on like a mechanical walker, almost like Wild Wild West. With two kind of troll female concubines and stuff like that. It was amazing. Like some of the best kind of art you've seen from WoW. And then Gallywick's in WoW is literally just a goblin. He's just a normal goblin, and it's not even like he looks like he could be like one of the auctioneers from Orgrimmar.
Yeah.
Like it's a shame.
I was gonna say time is money, friend, as you walk past him.
Yeah, exactly. And he does like a weird, crappy salute. I don't know. It just didn't have the personality. And I get that, you know, limited resources and all of that, but I would have much rather that, say, like, instead of fighting a new war machine boss in Siege of Orgrimmar, they reused, like, an old, you know, mechanical beast or something like that, and we got something later. And just fixed, like, Gallowix. I know that he's, you know, only seen in the Goblin starting area and then, like, in two quests.
Right.
But then for moments like this, it just kind of takes something away.
Just a little bit. Now, who did we not see? Because I didn't see Wolfman. What's his name? King.
Greymane.
Greymane. I didn't see Greymane.
No, he wasn't there. But people have theorized that all the guards you see are, in fact, Worgen. Just because that way they're accounted for. They're all wearing helmets, they're Worgen in human form.
Sure.
And the Draenei, if you look very closely, you can see them in space. So
They were nowhere. But neither was Sylvanas. So I don't know what's going
on. Sylvanas was in there.
Where?
Yeah, she was in there. She like nods, and the thing is with Sylvanas, obviously she's getting more and more Lich King-y every day.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, they're stepping her up to be someone in the future who has to be dealt with. But I think also with Jaina, she's getting more and more unhinged every day.
Yeah.
And it's changed so much from the Jaina we knew and loved.
Oh my gosh, dude. I don't like where they're taking her. I won't spoil it, but I don't
exactly.
like it.
So for me, what I imagine is that probably Sylvanas will end up being redeemed quite easily because she's meant to be bad, whereas Jaina, who's always been good, will probably be completely corrupted and crazy. You know, you got to remember that the Kirin Tor, you know, they've suffered great losses. Malagos is kind of no longer around for the Blue Dragon fight, and Kel's a bit all over the shop. And Sargeras, obviously, if he is coming back, previously he fought what's-her-face, Medivh's mum.
Oh, right.
And ended up, you know, placing an avatar in the form of Medivh.
Yeah.
You kind of feel like maybe Jaina is uniquely placed to be an instrument for Sargeras. And, you know, that could be...
That's
really
an interesting theory, because otherwise she's just bitchy in this.
Yeah, but exactly. And I think she could be bitchy now, and she's had a lot go wrong for her, but maybe she seeks to deal with the problem herself, but knows she's not strong enough and needs to invoke other things, and maybe she thinks she can control powers beyond herself. I don't know, because it's weird, because, you know...
Having her in the room with Thrall and having her kind of not acknowledge that friendship and relationship was just weird.
Exactly. But I think she blames Thrall for putting Garrosh in charge, and Garrosh destroyed her whole town.
That's a good point.
You know, she basically killed her dad for Thrall.
Yeah.
And here he is, like, you know, just being useless. And Thrall is so frustrating. Like, what is the point of him? Like, why is he there? He comes across like, I don't know, Bill Gates or someone who's kind of, I've done my time in business. I've made what I needed to make. I now want to focus on my own pursuits.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, now you've left it in the hands of Balamer, you know, and now we've got the crappy Surface Pro. They've gone and bought Nokia. You know, what are you doing? Like, you just let your legacy get run into the ground.
Yeah.
And that's what Thrall's doing. He's like, well, you know, the Horde was okay, but now I want to go have some babies.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay, great. But, you know, sometimes you got to put yourself in front of, you know, others, and other times you have to put others in front of yourself. And I kind of feel like Thrall is just a little bit too human and not enough Thrall.
Yeah.
And I know he's kind of raised by humans almost. Yeah. But still, it's, like I said, it's frustrating because he's just so useless. And then even then in this cinematic, it's calling out for Thrall. Thrall.
Yeah, Thrall, hey, do this. Thrall, do that. And Thrall decides, like Bill Gates. Like Bill Gates walks into Microsoft Central and says, all right, give me back my desk and my stuff for a minute because I'm going to make a move here that's now like as if I'm already CEO.
Yeah.
Like, no, wait a minute, dude. You've been hanging around. You got kids now. You've been hanging around the maelstrom talking to rocks or whatever.
Yeah, you don't get to choose. You don't get to choose what happens here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the big problem for me is that the Horde had an identity, and for whatever reason, Blizzard felt that they wanted to take Thrall away and make him more everyone's friend. Mm-hmm. But he'll never be everyone's friend because he was always the most iconic orc in the whole World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And now they've gone and they've made, Garrosh is spectacular. And he obviously went a bit pantomime villain in the end. But then you actually look, he actually doesn't seem to be corrupted by the old gods. That's the craziest thing, is Garrosh actually seems to be kind of wielding the old gods for his own ends.
Right.
So less so than him being corrupted by them, he's almost corrupting them.
Yeah.
He's the one who's like, no, actually, I'm going to take this dormant heart, throw it into this, mystic water, reignite it, blow up the veil, and then I'm going to, use its power to augment my own, to then, become the biggest, baddest orc there's ever been.
Yeah.
And, I think it's so, so strange, really, I think, to how far all of that's gone.
Yeah.
And obviously how it's resolved, and we'll talk about it at the end, leaves it open for 5.5.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the coolest thing about 5.4, is that there's going to be a 5.5.
Yeah.
There always was going to be, I guess. But
yeah, they said they were always going to, but it's still unusual for us to expect that many content badges.
Exactly. And again, I think that it would be really exciting to see how it all comes out.
It's still, again, despite misgivings we may have about how Thrall's being used or any of these things, nobody does this with their MMO the way Blizzard does it and gives us this central story that gets us so hyped up. Like it's even, and it's not even that complex of a story. It's all pretty simple on the surface of it, but it doesn't matter. It's a combination of presentation and archetypes that work, and I can't wait for the next little bit. Like, I just love this stuff. It's why I couldn't resist watching this, even though, I'll end up beating Garrosh at some point and seeing it for myself. But I, you just can't wait for the next little tidbit. What other MMO has any of that interest in that kind of story? Nobody. I can't think of one.
Yeah, not to this extent, for sure.
Star Wars tried,
Yeah, Star Wars was pretty epic, the story part.
It was all right, It was good.
It was pretty good. If you played all the way through some of the classes, it got real interesting. But this thing has been going on for so long, though. That's the thing. We know these characters from so long ago that they matter.
Yeah,
to us,
when I was running Thrall around on top of a wolf when he was like four polygons back in Warcraft 3, I invested in him, Like seeing where he is now, where he's come, what he's done is really compelling. And it makes this otherwise big mechanical mess of an MMO, which is just hard to make an MMO feel like a cohesive thing sometimes. It all kind of boils down, funnels down into this weird story, and it's great.
Yeah. Oak Dragon makes a good point, though. He's not quite the tragic figure that Arthas is, and I'm wondering if they're ever going to be able to pull that kind of emotion out of another boss.
Because
this guy's just a douchebag, right? Like, you just want to kill him because he's just
he's the
power
worst.
Hungry. Wait, he's been waiting to become the war chief just to do this, you think,
Yeah. And he's a bit of a Scooby-Doo villain at the end of this video,
well,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's true. But
I mean, the worst, he almost said, barring saying, I would have done it too if it wasn't for you kids and your meddling dog. I mean, literally, you've stopped short of that. He's a villain from Scooby-Doo at the end.
So they pull a mask off and it's,
it was the janitor the whole time.
The whole time it was the janitor. Yeah, but the thing is that, like, Arthas was, it was like sad what happened to him, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever felt sad for anybody else when we killed him.
I don't know. I mean, Arthas was a bit kind of cheesy, sort of, like, father. And it's like, okay, son, you've been a bit of a douche. And then,
I give up on it.
It's like, there must always be one. Right. And it's like, I was kind of hoping that, there must always be a war chief. Uh-huh. And then, Thrall could have stepped in and been like, there always has been. Yeah. And there's like, Loktar Ogar. And everyone would been like, yes, amazing. Yeah. But that didn't happen.
So say we all. I've been watching BSG again. Reminds me of
okay.
That. Also, there's a few other things. Connected Realms are rolling out in the next couple of weeks, so watch for that. Boulder Fist and Blood Scalp are going to be the first experiment. I thought this was already happening, but apparently not. So those are the first two you're going to see an update on, where they try some of this Connected Realm stuff. So people on Boulder Fist and Blood Scalp, let us know how that goes. We would be very curious about it. Also, BlizzCon 2013 virtual ticket sales are up now. 2 months away is all, and we know everyone's excited to see what's in store.
How close it was.
Yeah,
like, I honestly didn't think about, I was going through, just because we're going out there, and obviously it's really close.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. I was on the AIE podcast yesterday announcing there will be a Kickstarter going up in the next week or so, where the AIE podcast is running a Kickstarter to donate money to and get rewards for to help fund the big room we're going to have there this year and all the kind of hangout stuff that's going on there too. So pay attention to that, because that's coming up soon. But yeah, dude, it's like literally right around the corner, and it seems like even less time because I'm trying to sell my house and move right now, and that's crazy. So I don't know how I'm going to do it all before then, but I'm going. I'll be there. Here's a quick question for you. You guys like fantasy out there. You guys like reading books about swords and sorcery and, you know, big dudes with helmets and stuff. Well, if that's true, there's a big chance, if you're like me, you like Audible.com. And why would you like Audible.com? Because Audible.com has all the books you can stand, or you can eat, or however you want to say it, in one place. And they're read by wonderful people, great narrators, great authors, right there in your headphones. You're out jogging, you're taking in a book. What better way to take your mind off the pain in your knee than by listening to a book from Audible.com? They have 150,000 downloadable titles. That's a ton of stuff. Way more content than you'll ever be able to go through. So just imagine a service where you'll never run out. And you might be able to listen to great books like Macbeth, a novel written by A.J. Hartley and David Hewson, narrated by Alan Cumming. We know him as an actor. Check it out. Here's a piece.
The pair scatter separately through the mist and thickets like malevolent ghosts. The crone low and swift on her black sticks. The other a tall, hunched, muscular figure, that of a sullen thief. Out for booty.
Ooh, out for booty. If you want to go out for booty, get some free booty. Right now on audible.com, you can get a free audiobook. All you got to do is go to audiblepodcast.com. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow, W-O-W, and get a free audiobook on us. That's right. Simple as that. audiblepodcast.com/wow. Go check it out today. One way or the other. I may be homeless when I go, for all I know. But I will be.
Could happen. Yeah. That could literally. You may come back and have no home.
You never know. Where are my kids? Who knows? So those tickets are on sale now. The virtual tickets always been a strong buy. It's only $39. Get you pretty much access to everything. And even if you can't afford that and you don't want to do that, you can get most of the esports WCS stream stuff for free. There's news on the World of Warcraft blog about all of this. All right, let's get to some World of Tweets. World of Tweets.
Tweets, tweets, tweets.
I love that you have to do that live.
And blue posts were applicable.
World of Tweets.
Of Tweets. I could record it.
Tweets, tweets.
I could record it.
It's just... No, don't. All always right. Do
no,
it.
No, never, never
like,
record.
Yeah, I like that. It no, makes perfect. It more authentic.
I literally went and tracked down tweets from Greg Street that I liked and put in here today. So
really?
These aren't from another blog.
No, just scoop off the top.
Right. I didn't do that. I went and dug a little bit. Here are some of the ones I thought were interesting. A question came to him. It's just for some of us, rating normal or flex is not viable. LFR is all we've got. It doesn't make us inferior. And he said, totally agree. On the other hand, we want to make the rewards for harder difficulties commensurate with their effort. So I think that's just a great way of explaining their philosophy towards that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't think that because I'm an LFR, I'm necessarily quote unquote retarded. But it certainly, you know, it is the game I want to play because I love the story. Sure. And I like, you know, screwing over strangers. Mm-hmm. And I can do all of those things and more in LFR. And equally, like, you know, what happens in my life so often is I, you know, load up LFR, I'm queuing for 30 minutes, I finally get in, and then life gets in the way. It's like, ah, oh, son of a. And if that was an actual raid, I'd be screwing over so many of my friends all the time.
Yep.
Whereas I'm just screwing over strangers, and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
And they because I'm DPS, they'll go and get someone else in like a second. And the only person who's lost out is me.
Yeah.
LFR is the greatest thing in World of Warcraft, and I will fight anyone who says otherwise.
Well, good.
In LFR, though, and that's where we'll do it. But dueling's not allowed.
Yeah, fight in LFR.
So, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and by fight, you mean I'll pull a mob and then AFK.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pretend you went DC. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in Washington. That's what I say.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. The internet. Oh, yank. And then you're out. hi, Greg, says another tweeter. Says, if the item squish was to happen, would PvP and PvE gear once again have similar eye levels? He says, we don't know yet, but that would be a nice goal for sure. I think that's an interesting point about the squish, is whether or not we'll get back to a day where that's a thing, you know?
Yeah. I don't see how Maybe. They they can't have similar eye levels. I mean, if they're going to squish it, they got to squish it all, right?
Right, so. Right. But the question is, if you squish, like, what is your baseline for squish now? Like, are they going to, is everything 100? Is everything 50? Is everything zero, you know, when they start over? I don't know. Yeah, I still think that's, I think there's a lot of weird questions about that that we haven't thought of.
Well, opinion. Let's say that level 100 is the max level at that point. I think you make things, you could do eye level kind of similar to the actual level, right? You could do something like that, where like 100 is 100. The max.
I'd like to see like three eye level. Oh, now how many patches do we have?
5.4. Like, oh, you mean total lever?
Kind of like five patches a cap. So you kind of just want to have kind of, I don't know, two or three increments per actual level, and then five for a cap level. And it just pushes it up that way. But then that way you're always getting some extra juice. I don't know. But maybe the whole point is that they have to make it be really stingy so that they haven't got to do it again until another decade's passed.
Is it me, or when the game launched in 2004, they didn't have eye levels? They didn't have gear scores, right?
They did, but not publicly.
It was kind of hidden,
right?
You
didn't see them. Yeah, they were in the background.
I think their tools as well define, and that's why they can do these kind of cool things with gear in Flex versions and LFR versions, is that they have an item level budget. And so they've worked out, you know, how many stamina is an item level. And so if you want to add more stamina to an item, it changes its item level to the point where it puts it into a different tier.
Yeah.
So I think you've got a very clever system in place, but as to how they kind of fix it all, because I think they'd be building gear with that in mind nowadays as well, with a squish potential, so they can just kind of change the rules a little bit, I guess. So say that maybe one item level is one stamina, and you can't have more than 50 on a whatever. I don't know. Yeah, there'll be a solution.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird.
Hopefully it's kind of like literally like a spreadsheet where they can just change like a couple of cells and the rest of the game updates itself.
Because I noticed last night I took a little fall damage. It wasn't much. And I looked at the screen and a giant number exploded across the screen that said like, 120,000 damage
or something. It does seem weird because fall damage is a percentage.
Yeah.
Like a level one could fall the same distance and take like 3 damage.
Yeah.
You take like, 30,000 damage.
It's weird.
And it's just like, it's enough to kill that guy a billion times over. But you're fine.
Well, but if you think about it, falling hurts more and more the older you get. So it makes a lot of sense.
You could be fine.
Dills, but if you dropped an old man, oh man.
Oh yeah, don't drop an old man.
Drop a baby, it will be fine. Mm-hmm. Yep, I think there's no problems at all.
Yeah, well, no, there's actually some truth to that. If you look, kids fall off tables, kids do all kinds of things, and they get up and they're just fine. You drop a 90-year-old man, not so much sometimes.
Fine. When I was a baby, I fell square on my head several times.
Yep.
Just saying.
Explains
and
a lot.
I turned out perfect.
Explains a lot. here's one. I like this one. Do developers even think about changes? Those priest changes make those talents better than the than the revival pre-nerf. Stupidity? That's the question, right? He writes back, and I just think it's important to note, because I like anti-troll talk. He says, I feel the need to point out tweets like this every now and then as the kind I'm just going to block. Tweet wisely. And that's how he left that one, which is pretty nice.
I'm
going to
tweet at him right now.
Just say, hey, stupidity?
Lift, bro.
That's good.
And then finally, I didn't pull this one out directly, but there was somebody had tweeted to him. It says, every time I hear the word horde and I hear you saying horde side, and which he does right here from our show.
Horde side.
And he claimed on Twitter that he hears it in his own head all the time and feels like saying it to strangers. So there you go. We made an impact.
To which what Greg replied, he.
Yeah, he said he at the end.
Wow. Okay, so what can we infer from this?
You can infer this. That's a hee-hee right there. It's a hee-hee.
Okay, cool. Is that a hee-hee? That, I'd say that's more like a lol, or maybe an LMAO.
LMAO? How about this one? I don't know what that one is. What do you call
that's
that one?
That's an LMAFO.
LMAFO, yeah.
All right, time for Town Crier.
Actually, be LM.
MFO, LOMO.
Hear ye, hear ye.
MOFO.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
EPO, FO, MO. F-O, F-U. All right. Town Crier brought to you today by DoghouseSystems.com, who, by the way, is nearing their fifth year anniversary since they launched it right here on this program 5 years ago. That's DoghouseSystems.com, where you can use the code Henry for double the memory. That's what we like to say here. Henry for double the memory, the name of my World of Warcraft cat that I've had since Stranglethorn Vale at level 35. Go there now. Get a great Doghouse rig. It's an amazing year for PCs. I love my PC. You love yours as well. That's DoghouseSystems.com. All right. You can call us anytime and leave us a message, 206-202-3969. That's 206-202-3969. Leave us a voicemail or send your attachments and emails to theinstance@gmail.com. We have three calls today. This one's about Flex.
Hey, guys. This is Machine Man from Elune. Love the show and can't wait to see what you're going to do with the Instance TV. Anyway, you guys have been talking about if Flex rating is going to do anything to harm normal or heroic rating. And, as far as counters, I really think that the effect that it has on people that would otherwise aspire to do heroic or normal raids is the problem. You know, for some people, just going through getting that purple and seeing the content once or twice is all they need. Those people, some of them may have otherwise, like I said, aspired to go on to do more. And I think that's the real effect it's going to have on the raiding community. So, so those teams may not have the same pool of qualified players to pick from in the future, you know, which will further erode the whole situation. But anyway, like I said, love the show. See it.
Okay, my opinion of that is this is like saying this is like saying, well, before I had a car, I walked to work, and now that I have the car, I no longer aspire to walk to work anymore.
Mm.
Isn't that kind of what he's saying? I mean,
yeah, I guess so.
Is that bad?
You could make it harder on yourself, Scott. You really could. you should.
But I guess what I'm saying is people who want it to be that hard will still be there because they're the ones aspiring to it. Those who aren't already aren't.
Yeah.
They would rather do something that fits their lifestyle better. So,
well, that's the thing. I try to make my life as heroic as possible. So, like, I put my shoes on before my pants.
Of course.
I put my shirt on backwards, and then I try to figure out a way to spin it.
Mm-hmm. You flick that tag in front of people they just see, and you flick
exactly.
The tag.
Yep. Exactly.
I got really stuck, and so I just tried turning my head more. But I found out that it kind of, I get to about 90 degrees, and that's it, really. Maybe a bit further, maybe 100 degrees, okay. And that's me out.
Yeah. I microwave things 20 seconds at a time.
Wow.
So that it feels like I had to grind it out, you know?
Right.
It is good. Mm-hmm. And I never, obviously, like everyone, let the microwave ding.
Right.
No.
Because that that's like, why would you do that? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything that
stop
I microwave.
It 1 second,
exactly. It's either, kind of 58 seconds, 59 seconds, never a minute.
Never.
It will never ever ding.
No. Because you're the hardcore.
I don't even know
way.
If my microwave has a ding, actually. That's the weird thing.
Actually,
I've never let it ding. I don't know. It might not even have one. You're right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Never dinged. That microwave will never know it's ding. And we're not trying to ridicule the idea. But my point is that if
we kind of are.
It's like life, though. If people aspire to certain things, they will aspire to them. There's always going to be an easier way out. By looking at this as an easier way out, I think is where the mistake has been for people. This isn't like them going, oh, phew, finally an easy way out. No, this is them saying, man, I wasn't able to raid like I wanted to before. Now I can. That's what this is. This is like saying, oh, well, there's a bus. There's a difference. There's a space between I used to walk to work and I have to drive my car and pay for gas to go to work.
It's called the bus.
There's a bus.
So, yeah.
Take the bus.
So, Flex rating is the bus.
There you have it.
Walking is heroic. Flex rating is the bus.
And the truth is, if I'm on a bus.
What's LFR?
LFR is SUV. Yeah.
Can I get like a taxi? Can LFR be a cab? Because I pretty much just go along for the ride.
Sure.
That's literally.
Yeah, but you have to talk to somebody sometimes and they can be annoying.
Dude, LFR is one of those.
It's like LFR then. Yeah, you're right.
LFR is one of those trucks in India that has like 600 people too many on it and they're trying to cross the road and they always tip over. Yeah. That's what that is.
That's true.
No offense to anybody who likes LFR, including Terpster, who likes it a lot.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I will fight you, Scott.
Here's a call about a thing that Dills is familiar with, the 2 a.m. ideas.
Morning, it's this gang. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have an idea I'd like to share. What are you thinking about a solo instance that focuses on class skill? The rewards for completing this instance is an XP buff, say 4 or 5 times experience, 4 or 5 hours in-game. Along with the XP buff is gear similar to heirloom items, but without the experience buff. With the added bonus if you want to step into Battlegrounds, the gear would add the appropriate resilience for your level. After you have reached max level, you have one last mission that transforms your scenario equipment into raid-ready equipment so you can step into LFR or help your flex rating team. Let me know what you think.
Or you can walk into Timeless Isle, get some gear that's account bound, and have a way higher eye level than you did 2 hours ago.
Like, lol. It's account bound, then you redeem it on your alts, and then it's soul bound, isn't it?
Correct. Soul bound after you redeem it, yep.
So once you redeem it, it's soul bound. But I think this is probably a little bit too complicated, and Proving Grounds kind of gives this facility. But wouldn't it be cool if maybe you, instead of getting like leveling boosts, got sort of Q jumps for dungeons and LFR and stuff like that. So like maybe you want to be like, yeah, I know I'm DPS and I know there's a billion DPS, but I'm actually really good at DPS. So maybe I can, you know, play through the Proving Grounds, get up to like wave 10, and then I get a Q jump ticket, which is going to put me at the top of the list because I'm going to be a benefit to that group. Everyone's going to want me. I'm not a bad player. I'm a really good player. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing I think could be
like
quite
a fast
fun.
Pass at Disneyland.
Yeah, it's a fast pass. Exactly. Yeah. And you can only have so many at once. You know, they're unique in your bag, so you can only fast pass once and then you've got
when to
go
use it.
Yeah. And because you'd have to go to the Proving Grounds and invest time there, you probably ultimately some person with a spreadsheet will work out actually it's no faster. But at least it was a kind of participatory thing that you chose to do and were having fun and were honing skills. And, you know, I just think that could be cool.
Yeah,
I agree. Could be cool. I think what this guy's ultimate point here is that he wants to, on his own, in a solo manner, improve his gear enough that he can get into raids. And I think there are a lot of ways to do that right now. So I don't know if Blizzard needs another one, but... What the concept he's discussing is definitely one that I know Blizzard has thought about because they put a bunch of this stuff in the game.
Right.
And like you guys said, Timeless Isle, bang.
Yep.
Solo, you go out, you do it by yourself, you get rewards that help you in raids.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's definitely an idea that's been used and abused. He's just got another way to do it.
Yeah. I just feel like Timeless Isle is a less grindy way to do it. It's a more like, hey, I just found a chest and I just happen to have this upgrade for my helmet here. And that may seem easy on the face of it, but there's a real satisfaction in finding crap. It feels looty. It feels there's a little Diablo in there for me.
I like the idea of a solo instance, though. I do like the idea of because there was a lot of this stuff in Cataclysm where you would kind of go through a quest line. At the end, there was like a mini boss fight that you did by yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff was actually really fun. Yeah. Well, yeah. Basically, like, they would buff you.
Have this regen. That makes it a piece of piss. Like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
A piece of piss.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking the whole I've thrown myself off.
That's all right.
The whole solo instance thing, though, you kind of feel like scenarios. I don't know if we need it because it's so quick to do a scenario that I don't see what the real benefit of doing an actual story based instance by yourself is.
Yeah.
Sure, because they can just do the same for three people. It would be exactly the same experience, except you know three people experience it at the same time rather than one. So server strain is less, I think.
Sure.
Less instances there running of each version. So
there's always a tendency for single player games to want to turn their MMOs into a Skyrim like experience, and that's hard to do mechanically and just kind of structurally. The game is set up to be a multiplayer, you know, many people experience, and I just don't think you can retrofit that easily without it feeling a little bit weird. That being said, you know, Elder Scrolls Online, we'll see what they do with that. Let's see if they can Skyrimify their own game. I have my doubts, but we'll see. Speaking of Diablo 3, got this call about console Diablo 3.
Hey guys, so I've been messing around with D3 on the console, and there's a couple interesting things. First thing is I decided to go ahead and unplug the network cable, and guess what? D3 works offline.
Okay, that's interesting.
That's new.
Was it new? Was it ever intended to be
that's
online?
New. Yeah, definitely. No, it's offline play. It's literally the game that we should have had.
Yeah.
So it's the offline play. You can do local co-op. You can equally as well save your character to a USB stick and take it around your friend's house.
Yeah. So all the things everybody wanted from the PC version. Yeah. And no auction house.
No auction house, no.
No, not even the gold one, right? Like, you can't even do that.
You know, let's think about this, though. The game itself was out for a while.
Yeah.
There was a lot of criticism. And so if they put this version out and none of the criticism was taken into account, there would be even more criticism. So this is basically just Blizzard like fixing the things that were wrong.
Plus, those things don't work
makes
well.
Makes a lot of sense.
The PC side doesn't work as well.
Every voice matters, and that extends outside of their company.
Sure.
You know, they do mean that if everyone's saying, hey, this sucks, then they'll be like, oh, guys, I think this might suck. And they'd be like, really?
Yeah. That's always good. Word on the street
well, everyone
is,
else
it sucks.
Said it sucks. So we should probably try and make it non-suck.
Not suck? Yeah.
Yeah. Non-suck? But I found this out. Did you know the Crusader in Reaper of Souls?
Right.
He's the same voice actor as Lothamar.
Oh.
I didn't really, that never twigged for me.
Wow.
So I'm forever now going to see the Blood Elf faction leader while I'm, you know, kind of kicking demons in the derriere.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's a bad
sounds
thing.
Right, though. Like, that's the way that guy pontificates like nobody's
but
business.
Wouldn't Lothamar be a badass if he was like the Crusader? But he just comes across a little bit too sort of like, a little bit kind of calculated.
Yeah.
And at the same time, okay.
I just
good.
Had a fantastic mana sandwich, and I'm
going... Yeah, I couldn't have another mana. Oh, I will, though. I'll treat myself to one more mana, and then I... Oh, they're Moorish, aren't they? Very tasty mana here. I do enjoy this mana. It's like mana from the heavens.
Yeah.
No, it's just normal mana, but it's very good. It's very good.
I will say he's not the... Well, never mind. I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to spoil anything. We'll spoil things here in a minute, okay? Just everyone hold on. Just hold on to your butts. That's it for calls and emails. Thank you guys for sending those in. We really appreciate them. We got one more big thing, and then we'll break the news on the new Horde leader. Whoops, why didn't that play? Yeah, it's still not playing.
Oh, it's a trap of the week.
Here it is. It's a trap of the week.
The trap of the week.
All right, drop of the week this week brought to you by Squarespace.com. Squarespace.com, new sponsor to the show. If you're looking for an easy-to-use, powerful way to customize your own domain and website, look no further than our friends at Squarespace.com. It's super, super easy to use.
They do the whole build your own website through them thing,
yep,
don't they?
They do. They host everything.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really easy.
That's good. They've got like a WYSIWYG website maker.
They do
as well.
They do.
That's
and that
really
kind of stuff normally,
really
that stuff usually scares me, right? Like you're like, oh, you're going to oversimplify this. This is for dummies or something. That is not the route they've taken. It is, there are some beefy functionality in that WYSIWYG editor that adhere to CSS standards and HTML5 standards and like mobile standards. If you make a site with them, it's going to look great on your iPhone. It's going to look great on your Android phone. It'll look great on the desktop.
But I think the cool thing about it is, like, for example, you know, one of my brother-in-law, he's a landscape gardener.
Yeah.
And so he did one of these. And he, if you ever met him, he's not a computer person.
Sure.
But he, you know, he's good at drawing and designing and stuff. He makes nice gardens. But yeah, made a really cool website.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I think that's the cool thing about services like this is like, I don't know how, like most people I imagine listening to this are pretty techie, just purely because of the type of thing that we do and we talk about. But I think equally as well, if you've got friends who are like small business owners and you don't have a website, do something like this. It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
And for me, it's even like, even though I could go get some hosting and I could install a bunch of PHP software and I could get some database stuff going, I could maybe do all those things. I'm at a point now, career-wise, where I don't want to do that anymore. I want to go take powerful stuff and make it. I want to do it visually, and I want to be done.
Yeah.
And that's what this lets you do. You can get a free trial now. No credit card needed. Just get in there and go for it. Try to make the thing. See what you think. See what if you like it. If you do decide to purchase, 20% off offer on any of their plans. That's annual plans, whatever their plans are. 20% off when you start a new account by using the offer code INSTANCE9. That's INSTANCE9 for 20% off.
The number 9, not spelling it out.
Yeah, not spelling it out is a good point. The number 9
That's
is the end of the word instance.
Why 9?
This month, September.
Yeah. Oh, okay. September. Oh, I see. So
gotcha.
Next month's going to be
It'll be 10. Instance 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't type in 10 yet, guys. It isn't October.
That's right. Squarespace.com is the place. Offer code INSTANCE9. All right. This week only, the big drop of the week is, speaking of saving you money, 50% off Mists of Pandaria. And I've also heard through the grapevine a few people who send in some photos and stuff. Blizzard apparently... is sending out. Yeah, they're sending free versions of Mists of Pandaria to old players.
And that's clever, though, because like Mists is still a big download. It's like what, 20 gig or something crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And just to get all the good bits on a DVD up front, that's really cool.
I have a real question about that. What, at some point, dude, This installs, I mean, I know that hard drives grow and the industry grows with space and things like that, but
yeah.
we're at a point where the next expansion is going
to... I got Rome Total War 2 the other day, and on the box it says like hard disk space required 17 gig. Yeah. And I was thinking like, whoa, that's a hefty thing, but that's okay. That's before it unpacks itself.
Oh.
To unpack itself required like 50 gig. And I was like, what? Yeah. So I still think that, you know, really when you're looking at games, WoW, obviously for the size it is, isn't doing too bad. I mean, once it's
30 gig or something right now or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once it's properly installed, Rome Total War gets about 20 gig. But to actually install itself and do all of that, you need big hard drives. And I think that's just the fact of games. And as we get into console next gen and people start getting more and more stuff built around that, it's only going to be more of a thing where we need more storage space.
Yeah.
And those
drives are getting bigger and SSDs are getting bigger. And we'll figure out ways to accommodate it. But it's another 20 gig on top of what we have now is going to be, that's just a hairy install. That's 50 gigabytes worth of, wow. It's just a lot. Just so that's you can make crazy. Sure Stranglethorn stays where it is, I guess. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Maybe they'll come up with a streaming tech or something that'll allow for something. Who knows? They probably got things.
Yeah,
there
could be some sort of like it's not there until you attempt to access it type of thing.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I read an old 2001 interview when they first announced WoW.
Yeah.
And they said like one of the big things that they wanted is obviously that sort of no loading screen approach, and they pretty much got that. You can travel across the continents without seeing a single loading
screen. Back then, zoning in existing MMOs at that time meant a load screen every time you went to a new zone, every time.
Exactly. Whereas, you know, they didn't do that, but I feel like if they start kind of truncating the install, you know, it's going to be a tricky thing that I imagine they'd have to have the whole world there, because otherwise you lose that sort of ability to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And whether or not we've kind of got different levels of detail that are, you know, if they just, you get really low level stuff. Like when you download the streaming client, you can play WoW and not everything looks great because it hasn't installed all the pretty bits. I don't know whether or not that's just something they could do. And maybe a fact is if you don't have enough storage space, the chances are you probably don't have enough computer to to take advantage of all the other pretty bits.
Do you think Mike Morheim sleeps all right? Do you think he sleeps at night? Think he does okay that way?
I think he does absolutely fine. He has billions of reasons, I'm sure, why he sleeps fine.
All right. It just seems like, think of the beast you've created. You've created this thing that's far bigger than you ever expected it to be. And even though numbers are down right now, it's still this behemoth.
It doesn't matter. Like, literally, if it stopped tomorrow, it doesn't change the fact that they changed the world.
Yeah.
The world is different because of it. And that's the crazy thing about it. Like, how you kind of get your head around some of that, I'll never know.
It's weird.
But it's nuts.
At the very least, you have to think about it once in a while. He probably sleeps fine, but you have to like go, whoa, what the hell did the six of us in that crappy office do in 1992?
I think it's literally, exactly. There must be times when he's just going about his business and, you know, be out and about and see someone like wearing a WoW t-shirt or see someone talking about it and not knowing who he is, but like someone actually being excited in his world without him directly influencing them or interacting with them. You know, it's crazy.
He still says his favorite launch was StarCraft 1, which I think is interesting.
Yeah,
50% off this deal, by the way, on Miss ends September 17th, so it's next week at midnight Pacific Daylight Time. So get on it if you don't yet have the expansion. I don't know why you wouldn't, but hey, some people listen to the show and aren't playing. I get it. Let's see. Oh, quick note, no contest this week, but the Instance TV is a thing. It's happening. Theinstance.net/TV. I told you about it earlier in the show. I'm going to tell you about it one more time. Send your video submissions, your phone videos, whatever. It can be portrait, landscape, don't care. We'll play whatever you send. Theinstance@gmail.com. And to spice up the deal a little bit, when you send me these links or these photos or these images to that email address, if we use it, you'll get loot. I will send you random Instance loot in the mail. Hard something loot, not fake digital loot, real loot. Mystery loot will come to your house. So get on that. That's theinstance@gmail.com. And send your videos now for a new Instance TV episode. Okay.
Ooh.
Before we go anywhere, we're in this thing. Spoilers. So if you don't want spoilers, here, I need a spoiler song.
This is the spoilers. Hang on. But we should say goodbye to them first.
Reforging. There you go. Right. That's what we should do. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Special thanks, by the way, to the Quest Gaming Network, Elder Scrolls, and Rift Podcast. Breaking news for general gaming and live video streams. Check them out at twitch.tv/Quest Gaming Network. Jessica Hips, who has that great Etsy store. You can go to etsy.com/shop/JHCrafter. And for using the code instance at checkout, you'll get 25% off. And our friends at GameTimeZone.com, where you use the discount code WARCRAFT for 5% off there. All right. So we're done.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Okay. Now's the spoiler moment. Give us a spoiler. Give us a spoiler sound again, Torpster.
The spoilers bit where we talk about the new war chief mother.
There we go. You should have said
that. The gust blew the Monkey King away.
There's the first spoiler. Monkey King got blown away. So
great gust.
Oh, and by the way, Timeless Isles. Timeless Isles and all this expansion, all this patch finally is the reminder of why Blizzard was doing the Xiao Hao stuff in the first place. Like, I wondered why were they just randomly throwing that out there. It's all answered in this patch, why that guy's important. So,
well, that and equally just the fact, I think, that they wanted to tell a cool story.
Yeah.
And they did it in a very cool way. Yeah. And that's the thing. I love the fact that, you know, we can wrap up with the Emperor. It's like, yeah, sweet.
Thanks, man. It's pretty great.
It's just like, bring back all these cool guys.
Dead Emperor rep. So here we go. Dills, Terpster, me. We're going to talk about, just quickly, briefly here, what happened. So spoilers ahead. If you don't want to, you can get out now. Leave now. If you're not interested in hearing about this.
Ping spoiler, Grosh doesn't die. Yeah. Okay. He lives. He's imprisoned by Taran Zhu, who has him chained up and in Pandaria. There's a timeless quest where you see Anduin and him in the Temple of the White Tiger.
Yep.
So there's obviously some discussions to be had in the future.
Yeah.
But literally, this behemoth that was siphoning old god power, we've now chained up and put in a cage. Which I'm
just because
sure.
we beat him up real good.
Yep.
And what
we
it
beat
does
him up
it
so good it, that now he's weak. Yeah.
it leaves it open now for a few things to happen. Firstly, because Metzen's there, he may redeem himself. Mm. I hope not, because I kind of like him being a dick.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Grosh being this sort of like, you know what? No, I am the greatest and I will be the greatest. And I live my life in shame thinking my dad had let us down. But actually, no, he was, you know, I'm better than he is. I'm the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I will crush you all. I will crush you. I will crush you. That's all I say in Hearthstone all the time.
Right.
But ultimately, I kind of feel like because we're thinking kind of Burning Legion or Old Gods in the next expansion, The Dark Below, that Grosh, I kind of feel like he's going to be like either Loki in Thor 2 or Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs, in that we're going to have this caged maniac that I feel like at some point in time we're going to have to go to and be like you managed to wield the strength of an old god. You managed to bend them to your will. Like, how, what? Yeah, how do we, you know, and I kind of feel like that would be really cool.
It's an old trope that works in a lot of different movies and stories. It would work here.
Exactly. Yeah. Would be really cool to have Grosh actually be someone that we return to in a few patches time. And I kind of feel like, you know, if Illidan was still around, like he would have been amazing. Like if the Burning Legion came back and it was like, oh yeah, actually we didn't kill him. We locked him up again.
Yeah.
We clipped
his wings and he can't move. But now we have to go talk to him. He's like a Cylon defector. We need his help.
Exactly. And those sort of things I think would be really cool. The other thing that could happen, and I hope doesn't happen though, is obviously he just kind of rides in at the last moment and saves the day, you know, like drives his axe into Manaroth's brother, Aroth.
Yeah.
And then saves us all again.
Yeah.
And then Thrall turns to him and says, Grosh, you didn't disappoint me today. Oh, that's all I wanted to hear. And then he dies. but I don't know. Or he could be literally like the end boss to a five man in a massive anticlimactic, you know, Tempest Keep was merely a setback. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, but it is a little bit weird, didn't you think, that he just laying there, you know, he's a Scooby-Doo villain. He looked like he was defeated but was going to get carted off, and you know.
Yeah, I would have gotten away with it too.
Yeah.
Were it not for the new war chief and his friends.
Oh, let's talk about that. So,
well, I like the fact that it was Thrall though who was just going to hammer his head home.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that, the doom hammer actually caving someone's skull in.
Yeah,
right?
Amazing.
I wanted to see him do that. I was like, "What? No! Yeah. Yeah. Kill him now."
And then it's like, "Ah, oh, Varen, you cock block. Why you can't do that?" I was so
You doom hammer block.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Varian Wrynn jumps in with a stupid sword, blocks the hammer. They have words. He says something. He goes over to his people
It's not for you to decide, Shaman.
Yeah.
And he's like, hang on. The Pandaren have been dicked over more than anyone else. We're going to decide. We're going to try him in Pandaria,
yeah.
just purely because also that's where we've done all the remodels, and we've also got to do the quest where we regrow the veil.
Yeah.
So let's do that.
He's shit all over their parade the most, so they probably feel like they need to have a hand in this, and they do. And so that's decided. They go back over there, and they realize, well, we're kind of Horde chiefless, and everybody's kind of looking at each other. And then Vol'jin says something to Thrall to the effect that you need to pick up the mantle again and be our leader.
Mm.
And he says, what?
Like, I think everyone, I was like, yes, come on, Thrall, come back, atone for your mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you didn't cave his head in.
Right.
So you haven't atoned for dick at the moment. You've done nothing. Like, you've really angered me by just being like, you know, I'm not at fault. You know, he's the one who put him there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all Thrall's fault is his poor judgment and his following his, you know, wing, you know, his wang wherever he wants to go and being like, no, me and Agra are going to start our own little cuddly family.
Right.
It's like, no, you were, you know, you don't get a family. Sorry, man. That's your lot in life.
Right.
You're there to lead and be this, you know, thing that holds your whole people together.
You're the damn war chief.
Exactly. You're the Horde. You don't pick the war chief. You are the war chief.
Yeah.
You can't hand it off to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, he dies, then fair enough, but he's not. You don't give up that.
Yeah. And then you got this in the background.
The question is, what are we doing here?
I had to interview that voice actor in a week or two, by the way.
That'd be
cute. Yeah. He's the Hulu guy, by the way. Just so you know.
I don't have Hulu.
Oh, you don't have Hulu. He's the main character in the Walking Dead game that was so popular last year.
Yeah.
Cool.
There you go.
I didn't know who he is.
Pretty awesome. Anyway, David Fennoy is his name. Anyway, so point is, what's the point? Point is, everyone speaks up like, well, you need to be leader again. And Thrall says, Thrall kind of cops to it a little bit. He's like, I wasn't here to lead this rebellion. These better people than me did that. You're the one reason we're here, and Thrall, Garrosh is taken down from his high horse.
So absenteeism, though. This is ridiculous. Thrall was like, well, I wasn't here, so, and it all worked out all right. So I'm going to go back and have sex with my orc wife, if that's okay. No one told me that it was so much fun. Yeah. This is amazing.
Orc sex is incredible.
Exactly. This is nuts. Yeah. This is nuts.
Spend so all you that guys time casting green
sort crap. It out.
Right.
Exactly. Now I'm casting some green crap. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Gotta go drop the totem, if you know what I'm saying. So everybody. So he looks at Vol'jin and basically says, "Dude, you're it." And Vol'jin very sheepishly doesn't feel like he's up to the task, but says he will do all in his power to lead the Horde proper. And this proves my point. And they all bow to him. All the other bad models bow to the new hot model.
Exactly. But then Sylvanas kind of gives a little nod, and I'm like, oh, I kind of like the idea that Sylvanas doesn't like
it. She doesn't love this. She doesn't hate it. She's not sure where she's at. And of course, you know, Vol'jin's had a lot of story going on. He's the guy I would have picked a long time ago. He was the one they were setting up for this. It was never a question in my mind. But I had a conversation with Hodor on Skype the other day. So when this all dropped, I call him on Skype. He goes, did you hear about that? You know, we had this conversation. He's Irish, so, you know, having that conversation. Yeah, and he was feckin' this and, you know, all these words. Mm. Anyway.
Should have been Lothamar.
He was sure it was going to be him. And I said, you're not going to have the seat of the Horde is not going to be in Silvermoon. The seat of the Horde is in Orgrimmar. That is a foregone conclusion. Who is the only dude, who's the only faction leader that kind of has a home but not really? Well, Vol'jin, he doesn't really have a home over there. He needs to come over to Orgrimmar and sit in that throne.
It's like he didn't really make it cool enough. And the thing is, the orcs now don't have a faction leader.
Right.
You know, the orc race, it has no faction leader.
Yeah.
And that's the joke. It's like, you know, if they had Saurfang step up and be like, okay, I will speak for the orcish people.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, Saurfang, the elder, who's not going to take a knee to that guy?
Yeah.
You know, and then the thing is, Vol'jin, like, I don't know, give him some sort of troll ruin temple. He can, you know, voodoo out of the ocean. Everyone's happy.
Right.
You know, Saurfang can have Orgrimmar. You know, I don't really care. I just kind of feel like Vol'jin, like, has been built up. But ultimately, for me, just isn't the guy. And I think a lot of people feel like that, and other people feel like he is.
He
was the best choice of who was there, definitely.
Yeah, but you're not going Gallywicks. You're not doing Bane. Yeah,
but things are like Lothamar and Sylvanas, you know, they had their little thing. Like, you know, Sylvanas in the raids all like, I can use my harpies to raise your dead, Lothamar, and they can fight again. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You leave my guys alone,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, what about all those humans over there? He's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, if you gotta, you got to do what you got to do. And I kind of like that sort of like, there's a little bit of kind of like, you know, they're almost accepting now that, you know, Sylvanas can raise the dead. And it kind of works because the Forsaken have no way to reproduce.
Sure.
You know, they're a sort of a dying race,
right,
in more ways than one.
Right.
So that I kind of like that, you know, that she could be still a kind of cuddly friendly Lich King-esque character.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just kind of feel like, you know, Thrall should have been back. Like, for me, there's no reason for him to be so separate from what's going on.
Yeah, but it still would have pissed you off that he could just wander back in and take the seat again.
No, because it shouldn't have been. What it should have been is it should have been like, you know, that, you know, Grosh's last thing should have been to kill Vol'jin. And Vol'jin then could have been like, aha, brother, you know, we'll see who has the last laugh. And like, as like, his voodoo heart falls out, and then, you know, suddenly Grosh clutches his chest and he's like, oh, nuts, I'm dead as well. And then, like, you know, Thrall walks in, he's like, oh, it's like some Shakespeare play, and just everyone's dead on the floor. He's like, you know, what have I done? How can I atone for this? You know, and then Agra's like, you know what, actually, Goel, I was, you know, selfish. You know, I thought I needed you when actually, you know, your family is more than just me and your son now. Your family is, you know, your whole race and the whole horde.
Look at you, man. You know?
And I said, I did work against just top of the dome.
Right,
I can come up
right,
with
just coming right out. You should, Metha needs
kind of like, you know, that then I would love to see Thrall in a place of power where he has to atone. And it's a case of like, you know, he's got to fix the wrongs so we can readdress the balance. And like the Alliance has taken back a lot of the lands that were captured during the Cataclysm and other stuff. But now it's a case of like, you know, but what does that mean? Does that mean that Thrall then is kind of slower to judge stuff in the future and becomes hesitant and doubts himself? And then the Horde are like, actually, you're back, but you're not as good as you should have been. Like, you, where's the old Thrall? You know, you're all kind of sorrowful for things that have happened in the past. You've got to do something better. And then, you know, he gets a whole redemption thing, but it's a cool thing. I don't know. I just kind of feel like Vol'jin isn't a leading man, in my opinion. He's got a silly voice, and he always will.
You should read the book. The new one is really good.
The thing is ultimately, it doesn't change the fact he's Jar Jar Binks, but a bit deeper. and that's the problem for me, is that I'll never be able to take him serious. Like, Thrall doesn't have, like, a weird voice. He's got a gruff, sort of, like, hero voice.
Yeah.
You know, Vol'jin's a caricature. And it just, for me, I don't know. I just don't feel like he's... I don't know. I don't know what he can do that's going to make me be like, actually, yeah, he's a badass.
I think Terpster's got a little racism there, Dills. I think that's a little bit of...
Yeah, but you know what? He's clearly doing his research. Right. Holy crap.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Dills and I are kind of like, we got some periphery on this story. We kind of know what's going on. We got the basics, but clearly Terpster spent some time in the trenches here.
It's because, you know, these are the bits that this is why I play the game, though, because I love this story. And the thing is, it's such a slowly evolving story because it kind of, you get these big, you know, burst damage DPS moments every time a patch drops, where it's like, boom, load of story. And then you've got to wait again to the next patch and then expansion. It's like, whoa, it's this crazy load story.
Yeah. The one part we didn't mention is the humans before he goes over there and has this conversation with Vol'jin and says, basically, you guys watch your backs because one false move and that's it. We're going to kill everybody.
Well, so Varian says that. But before that, Jaina says to him, Varian, look, they're plotting already. You have to act now. Dismantle the Horde.
Yeah, what?
And literally, he said, like, look, there's Thrall, you know, that guy I used to have a thing for. There's the rest of the Horde leadership. What are you waiting for? Take them down.
Yeah.
And that from Jaina just shows that she's fully gone. She's no longer.
Yeah, that gray hair, it's not just hair. There's something else up in there going on.
Exactly. And I kind of hope that, you know, that there's going to be some sort of a cool thing there. But maybe, I don't know, we have a sort of weird Harvey Oswald moment where Grosh is getting transported to his trial and Jaina pyroblasts him along the way, or I don't know. There could be some cool stuff to happen. I kind of feel like Jaina's fall is something we're about to see, and maybe it'd be quite cool if maybe it echoed Arthas's. And you know, she, you know, the jailer of the damned, you know, Bolvar's up there, but maybe she goes and tries to become the Lich Queen or something like that. You know, she was always close to Arthas, and he fell trying to get power to protect his people. She's already failed to protect her people.
Right.
Now she's just, you know, trying to get vengeance. And that, I think, could be a really cool motif in the future. There's just so many things they could do.
Oh, yeah.
I just think, you know, Vol'jin for me was just a little bit...
I don't know. I was excited about it. I think he's a cool character. The voice thing doesn't bug me.
Than Lothamar. And those were really two ones up for contention. No one thought Bane. You know, Bane just wouldn't have worked.
Right. Again, Sylvanas, it's a locale thing. You can't have, nobody's making Undercity the seat of the Horde. Nobody's making Thunderbluff the seat of the Horde. That'd be dumb and ridiculous. And neither of those two people would seem right to come sit on the throne in Orgrimmar. But it made sense for Vol'jin.
Like the whole thing with Lothamar was the regent of Silvermoon while Kael was out in Outlands. And it's like, oh yeah, Kael's actually gone full blown crazy.
Yeah.
You're now the leader.
He said, oh, thank you very much. Yeah, here.
Exactly. They could easily though put, you know, another Tauren in
Thunderbluff.
Thunderbluff. Yeah. Kind
of. Thunderstruck.
And have him, as I was saying, and then have him in Orgrimmar. It would be cool. And equally, they need to redo his model.
Yeah.
So why not put that into a faction leader?
Yeah. I'm excited about how that's going to look. But man, get on those humans, Blizzard. Woof, woof. Rough business there with the humans. All right. There you go. Thus endeth the spoilers. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I know I did. Dills, before we get out of here, what's going on right now? You got some things going on you want to
Torture Cast still going on, even though the Giants are, I think they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. It's fine. Whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Rebuilding. Rebuilding.
Yeah, whatever. Still champions for a little while. but lately been doing a lot of streaming on Twitch, so if anybody wants to check me out there, it's Willie Dills SF. So twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF.
Nice.
I'll be playing a lot of Hearthstone. And once I get back into some of this flex rating stuff, I'll probably stream some of our raids
too. Yeah, I tried to last night and had issues with that streaming app. So I got to figure something out there. But yes.
We're using Wirecast?
No, using, what's it called?
XSplit?
XSplit, yeah. And it's been
trouble. You should use OBS. OBS,
OBS is supposed to be the way to go. So I'm going to switch today, I think.
I paid
for a year of XSplit, and I'm pissed that I can't get it to work right.
It's expensive as well. That's the problem with these streaming things.
OBS gives you everything that you get on the paid version of XSplit for free.
Yeah, it's all open source stuff. So
yeah, it's all open source, so everybody's fixed all the problems.
Yeah, and Dill's, his streams are entertaining because he's not just playing Hearthstone randomly. He's like telling you.
Sometimes I'm sleeping.
Yeah, sometimes he's sleeping and his wiener's showing. But other times he is actually like talking and telling you what he's doing and strategizing and all that stuff.
Well, actually, last night was kind of cool because I played an arena and then my buddy Bryce, who some people met at Nerdtacular and I hung out with quite a bit, I was able to hook him up with a beta key, so he finally got in there, and me and him drafted together his very first arena deck.
Oh, wow.
So kind of talked through all the options and everything, and then he won his first game. I don't know how the rest went, but
that's great.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty fun.
Cool. Yeah, that's totally cool. So watch for that. Willie Dills SF on Twitch.
Do it.
Yeah, Terpster.
What's waiting for? Come on,
Terpster got engaged. He's in a house now. What else is going on?
I'm all grown up, Scott. I'm all grown up.
Yeah.
I did an episode of Yog News.
Mm.
So we do a weekly sort of video news thing, which just tells you what's going on in the Yog's cast. Sam, the normal host, was away in America, so old Yeller here had to step up to the plate and put on my old presenting pants.
Wow.
And
dude,
I was like, wow, I can't believe I used to fit in these, I said, as I put on those tight, tight pants.
Yeah.
It's good fun. All right. So you can check that out on YouTube.
You'll fit in nicely when we collaborate on some future Frog or Instance TV episodes. So stay tuned for that, everybody. I want to thank Matthew Oxley for our theme. I want to direct people to iTunes or wherever your podcast directory is of choice and leave us a review. We love that stuff. Our intern, Paul Swickard, is the man, and he creates show notes on our website, which can be found at theinstance.net, where forums and show notes and archives and all that stuff can be found. On Twitter, find us at Instance Show. You can also find us individually at Scott Johnson, Willie Dills, and the_T. On Facebook, we're at /theinstance, and you can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, and for Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is Some Young Monk here from Lightning Blade US server. just wanted to throw a quick comment out about Hearthstone and about the signing up on Facebook and whatnot. I really kind of got to agree with you guys. If they're going to make us do all sorts of other things, go jump through all these hoops. You know, I opted in a few months ago. I want to play it, looking forward to playing it, looking forward to getting it. But I'm not going to go through this, that, and the other thing just to, you know, just do that. I think that it's fair enough that I opted in. So I think it's time to, you know, get the beta key. I think those people deserve it too. So anyways, love the show. Hope everything's going great. Cheers.
Struggle for Horde Control moves online. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Recent developments show that the battle to control the Horde brand name has reached a fever pitch. Yesterday, when Garrosh's representatives tried to register the domain names newhorde.com and horde2.0.com, they were not pleased that domain registrar GoGoblin had beaten them to the punch and reserved the names for Vol'jin. This appears to be the latest skirmish in the Horde domain name wars. It was just a few weeks ago that VoljinLives.com went, pardon the pun, live, and already we see it being replaced by VoljinRules.com, which asserts that the troll is the true leader of the Horde. The other Horde races have also dipped their toes into the web arena, but with less success. The Blood Elves social networking site started promisingly, but soon devolved into an endless stream of selfies posted by its members. We thought we had discovered the mystery of where Sylvanas Windrunner had disappeared to when we found the site BansheeQueenReveal.com, but it turned out to be just a fanboy posting vidcaps from his basement in Downers Grove, Illinois. Sad to say the Tauren website, HeresTheBeef.com, was the least successful. Surveys showed that the vast majority of people visiting the site thought it was a mail-order butcher. Unfortunately for the Tauren, their web presence does not seem to be well done. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azerothian Heroes.
Real Azerothian Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Which Way Do I Go?
Mr. Which Way Do I Go?
In case you couldn't figure out what that updating bar on your launcher was all about, 5.4 is here.
Still in the red.
Proving grounds, flex rating, new pets, the beginning of a new raid tier, and most importantly, finally dealing with Garrosh Hellscream.
Civics just got interesting.
You think you want to try one thing, then another. Then on your way to the proving grounds, you start thinking about the other choices you have, and it all just becomes too much.
First world gaming problem.
So crack open a nice cold Noggin Fogger Elixir, you attention vying so much for trying this close to crying too much to do player. Just be glad you don't have a Hearthstone beta on top of it.
I'd kind
of
like to have that problem. Oh, I mean, mister, which way do I go?
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace on iTunes.
Oh, Luja the Mage here, helping you find the pets in this brave new world. Okay, patch 5.4 is out, and with it, 33 new pets. Three of these pets are found just wandering where they want to all over the Timeless Isle. It's like they're wild or something. They are the Ashwing Moth, the Flame Ring Moth, and the Skywisp Moth. All three of these guys are flying pets and found pretty much everywhere. Like I said, they just wander anywhere they want. They're level 25, so pet catchers beware, as they also come with two additional pets during the battle. As far as moths go, these guys are pretty awesome. I personally love their pretty white wings. They look all mystical and magical. Ooh. The biggest difference between these guys seems to be appearance. One's all white, one has a red body, and one has a blue body. All their wings are, of course, white and pretty and mystical. Did I mention the mystical? Yes! So, if you have a moment between treasure hunting, I highly suggest adding them to your collection. These guys are just too cute to ignore. If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at aludra_AIE. And for more Battle Pet information, head on over to battlepet.net.
Epic Diapers.
Patch 5.4 has been out for 3 days now, and I can't believe they made the new Warchief.
Aside from YouTube spoilers, I've had only a couple of hours to run around the Timeless Isle, but so far I like the non-questy exploration feel to it. The few breadcrumb quests that you can pick up are totally worth it. They're easy, fast, and give you quite a few timeless coins, which is the main currency to purchase gear, consumables, and vanity items on the isle. If you're an altaholic like me, this isle is a dream for gearing up your alts. Quite often, you will discover a treasure chest just sitting around, sparkling and stuff. Many times, a token for a piece of eye-level 496 gear will be in there. And here's the kicker. It's account-bound. You may also loot these armor tokens randomly off mobs, and of course, it's going to be a higher drop rate off rares. So, if you find, for example, a Timeless Cloth Helm armor token, you can send it to your clothy alt and then convert it to whatever spec-appropriate gear that you want for that slot. However, if you just want to gear up your main, you may want to hold on to these armor tokens until you find or purchase a Burden of Eternity. With these puppies, you can upgrade your armor token to eye level 535. You can loot this once per character from the Blazing Chest near the Ordon Sanctuary. But after that, you need to either purchase it for 50,000 Timeless Coins or get real lucky with a drop. I'll be back next week with more tips and tricks from the Timeless Isle and Patch 5.4. You can follow me on Twitter at Epic Diapers or find my blog with all of my audio segments and my photo of the moment at EpicDiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Hey there, I'm Ben the Mage.
And I'm... Wait a minute, I introduce us!
But you're the big star now.
Whatever, Luja the Mage here.
But you're in the tournament.
And winning, too. Anyway, we're here to talk about our newest battle pets, episode 30, naming the 33, our 5.4 pet show. What's with all the numbers?
Well, you know, cosmic forces aligned and, it just worked out that way.
That's a lot of numbers. This episode's all about our latest patch and how it's going to change your pet battles.
Yep, we've got new pets, we've got new events, we've got changed abilities.
I still think Rot was a good change.
Definitely the best change of the patch. Eesh.
Yeah. Find out about all these changes and how they work for you on BattlePet.net, Stitcher, and on iTunes.
Hey everybody, it's Amy Jade, and well, we're starting to wind down in the expansion, so get ready and hang on for 5.4. He's a moron. Garage Hell Scream. He's such a bad war chief. No one really likes him. In fact, we all despise him. Garage Hell Scream. Well, he's certainly no Arthas Menethil, and he's definitely no Deathwing. I mean, we at least had respect for those bad guys, but Garrosh? No way, and here's why. He's a monster! Garrosh Hellscream! Did you see what he did in the Vale? He unleashed the new Shaw! He's misguided like his paw! Garrosh Hellscream! Let's not forget about Theramorn, like Jaina would say. Let's do this for Kindi. You know, it's Kindi Sparkleshine, the little gnome. Anybody remember her? You know, I guess one could argue that all is fair in love and Warcraft. But, well, there's certain lines that one must not cross. And Garrosh has certainly done that. There's such a thing as mutual respect among enemies, and that's something he does not have. You know, Garrosh really wants to fight. And I say, let's give him his wish. Let's go kick his ass. Wait. Sorry. Yeah, I better watch what I say. So let me kind of rephrase it. Here's a warning. Garrosh Hell Scream. Azeroth comes for you. For those stupid-looking transmog shoulder pads and that dumb-looking noob tattoo, Garrosh Hell Scream. That's right, you can trash talk all you want, but it's going to be your head hanging on a spire. And I can't wait till that one person does you-know-what with that one thing after he warned you about doing something like this. So get ready, Gary. We're coming for you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Azeroth Archives. I am Vixorcus, Draenei Paladin and Lore Master of the Archives. Last time, I told of how Deathwing's betrayal dealt a blow to the efforts of Azeroth's inhabitants to ward off the invading demons of the Burning Legion. As the Night Elf forces regrouped, and the Archdruid Malfurion Stormrage planned to destroy the Well of Eternity, thereby disrupting the Legion's link to Azeroth, he was betrayed by his own brother, Illidan Stormrage, who had become addicted to the well's arcane power, along with Queen Ashara and her highborn, deserted and warned Ashara of Malfurion's schemes. Malfurion led his forces on one final assault of Ashara's temple and the Well of Eternity. The highborn and the Legion were ready, and the ensuing bloody battle destabilized the magic that held open the Legion's portal through the well. The portal collapsed and the well detonated, splitting Azeroth's one continent into many and blackening the skies. The well became the maelstrom at the center of the Great Sea. This was the first cataclysm, the Great Sundering, and although the Burning Legion's invasion was foiled, a heavy price was paid, and those who survived were tasked with rebuilding their world. Ararystus will return next week. Until then, may the light embrace you.
Follow at Azeroth Archives on Twitter or listen to past episodes at azeroth-archives.tumblr.com.
Greetings and welcome to Slash Grants. I'm your host, Efink G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft. This week's achievement is Collateral Damage. The goal here is to use a Mogo statue's Crushing Slam to kill another opponent. First, head over to the northwest of the Vale of Eternal Blossoms. There you'll find the Mugu statues. Before you wake them up by walking by them, be sure to kite around either a small mob or creature to about 15% HP. The word out there is that a critter will work as well, which is quite useful. So really, just make sure that critter or mob or whatever is kind of at low health, and then get these statues to start attacking you. And once it does the Crushing Slam ability, it's going to come down and kill that thing, causing some collateral damage. And if you do this correctly, you'll get the achievement Collateral Damage at 10 points. If you'd like now, you can subscribe to Slashgrats on Stitcher, iTunes, and RSS. Past segments and notes are at Slashgrats.com. You could follow me on Twitter at EfinkG4. Good luck. And I'll see you next week.
Welcome to Science of Warcraft. This week, Psychology in Warcraft. This is a bit on the editorial side of things, but I found that World of Warcraft to be among the best places to study psychology in a great many areas. In science, artificial environments are often necessary. You want to be able to study how people act within a defined space. The real world often carries many elements that bleed into one another, and creating custom environments often carries its own limitations, especially if the subjects know that they're in a study. Warcraft is open enough that people can act on their own while still having defined spaces. It still isn't perfect, but it's a great place because people act on their own. You can study what people would really do while knowing all the variables. Warcraft is also different because of the social nature. In games like League of Legends or Halo, the interaction is limited to the design competition. Warcraft is a place where you do what you want. It's a place you are far from as confined as more competitive games. It's a place that you can make and build relationships. That is what makes it the perfect ground for observing human behavior. Send your own thoughts on this topic to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com. And always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize.
Hailing from the great shores of Lakeshire, I'm Dozy the Mage, here to bring you more misadventures from around the Meeting Stone. This week's journey takes us to Stormstout Brewery and my run-in with Uncle Gal.
Shh! Let's listen in.
Whoa! Look at this place. A full-functioning brewery right here in Pandaria. I swear I like this place more and more every day. Oh, hey, Uncle Gal. What are you up to?
It is the perfect brew.
The perfect brew, you say? Need any taste testers?
Yes. Yes! Yes! No. No. No, no, no! Yes! No!
You are one crazy panda, old man. Come on, pass that stuff over this way. Let's try this out. What is this?
Peppers!
And beer? May I suggest taking a page from the Dwarven Brewers in Ironforge? More barley, hops, cereal grain, that sort of thing.
Look, we all can't be heroes, running from our responsibilities, tromping around the dread wastes, saving the world.
Just say the word, brother, and I can open a portal to Ironforge. We can do this right now.
Details, details. Hey, what's that behind you?
And that's my cue. See you, Uncle Gal. We invite you to take part in more of our misadventures, so journey with us to the Meeting Stone. You can find our show bi-weekly at themeetingstone.com or find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and follow us on Twitter at Meeting Stone Show. That's show without the W.
Hey guys, I've been playing the Hearthstone beta and loving it hard, but here are a few things I'd like to see. First, I'd like the ability to practice with my arena deck against the expert level AI. It'd be nice to try the deck out against the various classes to get a feel for it, how it flows, its strengths, its weaknesses, especially since they're often cards I don't usually get a chance to play with. Also, something I always liked about Magic the Gathering was that you ended up drafting more cards than you needed to make the deck, and you could switch them out in between matches. So what I'd like is to pick 35 or 40 cards, make a deck, click play, he says, Garrosh versus Jaina! And then you'd have 30 seconds or so to swap out some cards that might be more suitable for a mage fight. Thanks. Love to hear what you think.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
And then it's like, and she's like, oh, that's really nice. And I'm like, yeah, and you know, that just saves a lot of money. And then lose it instantly. It's like, ah, you're not trying to be romantic. You're being stingy again.
Well, here's the question. Here in the States, the tradition is, no, I don't know that it always gets adhered to. The tradition is the girl's family pays for the wedding. Is that not the case
over
there?
Yeah, the wife's father.
I mean, exactly.
Thing.
No, they're paying for they're putting some money towards it. But so are my parents. Yeah. And then I've still got to put up. You know, I think them together, the two sets of parents, it's so far equating to about a third.
You've got to shell out the other two thirds.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, when I saw the prices as well, I did a little third in my pants. It was
a number three, yeah, huh?
Yeah, wow. It's not a happy day for anyone, really, right. Is it? No. I mean, I think that's the point on weddings, is that you have to get, you know, it has to be something that monumentally fantastic for you to get over the fact of how freaking expensive it is.
Yeah.
But, you know. Well, c'est la vie.
Here's to no regrets. The weddings are for everyone else, honestly. I mean, it's not really for you guys anyway. It is, but it isn't. In the end, it's about them watching their son, you know, walk down the aisle. Or I guess you stand there. She walks down the aisle.
Yeah. You should walk down the aisle this time. Put it up.
Exactly.
Why not?
Sprinkle little petals before your path.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be amazing. I'm my own flower girl.
You might.